Thanks for pressing play. If you love the serendipitous magic that can only occur in a real conversation, you're in the right place. This is Christopher Lockhead, Follow Your Different, the number one real dialogue podcast for business leaders, entrepreneurs, and category designers with a different mind. We're joined by the legendary fitness category designer, Carl Daikeler. Carl Daikeler is the CEO of Body, formerly Beachbody, and he shares his journey into the fitness industry, starting with the creation of the 8-Minute Abs video series. Carl talks about the success of 8-Minute Abs, as well as the surprise when 8-Minute Abs was mentioned in the movie Something About Mary. The birth of Carl's fitness career was inspired by a need for a quick, effective workout solution, leading to the creation of 8-Minute Abs and the eventual smash success of P90X. The conversation touches on the importance of health esteem, moving away from the ideal of a beach body to promoting fitness and well-being for everyone, regardless of their starting point. But it's not all fitness. This is a wide-ranging conversation that covers marketing, innovation, persistence, and of course, category design. Carl and Chris have known each other for a few years and have done some business together, which makes for a light yet deep conversation that you do not want to miss. Ahoy, my fellow innovators. Are you tired of just competing in crowded markets? Then it's time to raise the flag of the Category Pirates and chart your own course. The Category Pirates newsletter is your guide through the uncharted waters of category design. Learn from the legends themselves, the captains of category creation, how to frame, name, and claim your very own market niche. Hoist the sails and set a course for untapped riches. Subscribe to the Category Pirates newsletter at categorypirates.com and join the crew dominating brand new categories. Don't settle for being a better version of the competition. Become a true category designer and uncover the hidden treasures that await. Set sail with the Category Pirates today at categorypirates.com. Now, as Joey Ramone said, hey ho, let's go.
Carl, it's awesome to see you.
It is great. I didn't get to hear the theme song, though, so I'm a little disappointed.
Well, the theme song gets me revved up. Do you like the theme song?
Totally. Hey, ho, let's go, yeah. Man. It's how I start the morning.
Right. It's fun. It's really fun. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I love everything about 8-Minute Abs. And the scene in Something About Mary about 8-Minute Abs is something I use all the time to talk about stupid competitors with the joke about, well, what happens when somebody comes out with 7-minute or 6-minute abs? And I just love everything about 8-minute abs. So I want to hear the 8-minute abs story if I could. You've never really told me the whole story.
You know, it was actually literally the birth of me getting into the fitness business by inventing a product to solve my own problem. I'd graduated college. You know, you're less active, you're working more, I'm putting on weight. And one day I was visiting an old college buddy and he was in great shape. I'm like, oh, how'd you do this? And he said, I was doing abs of steel, I think is what he was doing. And I'm like, what? You do not do abs of steel. Like, he was a all-state wrestler, like, no way. And I said, let me see that. And I showed me the VHS tape. And I'm like, you do this thing for an hour a day? He's like, no, man, they're only 10 minutes. And I said, well, it says it's an hour long. He said, no, there's just a bunch of different workouts on there. And I'm like, well, they left the most important thing off the title. Like, I would do it every day if it was just 10 minutes. So, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm in the shower. I'm like, man, you're a pig, talking to myself. And I was like, I should really do something. I was running a little marketing company at the time called Telemerica. And I said to my partner, I'm like, I had an idea today. We could create a bunch of videos that I would actually do for people like me who don't love working out and who abhor the gym and but need to do something. So I call it 8-Minute Abs. And we can create 8-Minute Abs, 8-Minute Buns, 8-Minute Arms, 8-Minute Legs, 8-Minute Stretch. And you get it all for $19.95. And so we did it. And boom, the thing was a massive success. And I remember I was in a meeting talking to people. We were talking to people at Target about possibly putting the title in a Target. And they said, no way, nobody's going to buy it. Because if you remember the old VHS tapes, you could look at the spindle and see how much tape was left. And 8 minutes of tape was invisible. And they were like, it looks like an empty cassette. And I said, people aren't paying you $19.95 for more video. They're paying you for the empty case. That's what they want. So that was the birth of my fitness career. And the funny thing about that story, though, with Something About Mary, is I was literally sitting in the movie theater, had no idea that this was going to happen. And all of a sudden, there on the big screen, Ben Stiller and the guy
Harlan Williams is the name of the comedian. He's actually a hysterical comedian. If you get to see him live, he's absolutely priceless. He does some of the best crowd work I've ever seen. The guy who plays the psycho killer that.
So amazing. So they start talking about my product, and I'm like, all of a sudden, like this theater's like spinning around me. I'm like, wait, what is happening right now? This was an idea I had in the shower, and I'm watching it in a movie. And so that was my little history.
And a giant hit movie. I mean, it's now considered a comedy classic, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you had no idea, Carl.
No idea. And you know, it was a phenomenon, 8 Minute Abs. In fact, it's coming up on its 30-year anniversary. But here's the your category point. When I started this company, Beachbody, the first thing we did was create a tape called Great Abs Guaranteed, which was only 7 minutes. And that launched the company, and we were profitable right out of the gate.
So you undercut yourself, 8 Minute Abs, with 7 Minute Abs, which is, of course, the exact joke in the movie.
Exactly. Like, hey, you know, art imitates life. Is that what they call it? Or life imitates art? I don't know.
Yeah, both ways, I guess.
Yeah.
It's so priceless. And right? What were the things that you learned from, I mean, it was a cultural phenomenon, 8 Minute Abs. I remember it very well. And of course, the movie just took it to a whole new level. As an entrepreneur, as a category designer, what did you learn from that wacky, incredible success?
Well, it confirmed that there's a lot of people out there who feel like they should be getting in shape. They know it's an imperative to the life that they want to lead, but who's got the time? Like, you burn up the time, your workout time, just trying to get to the gym, and it sucks and it hurts. And there's other people that the idea of a trainer standing over you counting your reps lacks as much appeal as the gym. So this idea of using media to deliver the instruction took off for us. And the first real sort of what I call structured program versus just a one-off sort of a videotape that you follow, we created a thing called the structured program. And that was Power 90. And Power 90 was a 90-day program alternating cardio and strength training and then some flexibility for 90 days. And you could totally lose, 20, 30 pounds if you combined it with a structured nutrition program. And that took off. We were basically just digitizing the trainer and, VHS at first, then DVD, and now the Body app, which has all the programs that we've created over the course of 25 years.
And when did you launch P90X?
Well, P90X launched, it actually launched in 2005. So P90X was the sequel to Power 90. P90X stands for Power 90 Extreme. And everybody in the company said, terrible name, nobody's going to know what it means. And they were probably right. But I even said to Tony Horton, the trainer, I was like, hey, I've got this idea for all the people that bought Power 90. They're looking for what's the next thing. And got this idea for P90X. He was like, no, I don't want to do it. I'd rather do something for the masses. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it with somebody. So if you want to do it, we'd love to do it with you. So we developed this thing, created the concept of muscle confusion, and tested it. So made an infomercial and tested it in 2005. And it bombed. Like, stillborn. But I got enough orders that was like, wait, there's something there. So we needed to work out offer. We needed to work out what we're communicating in terms of the value proposition. And, you know, so for 2 years, we kept testing this thing. And finally, in 2007, it took off. But it took a solid 2 years. And like everybody in the company was like, why is he still trying this? Why doesn't he give up already? It's not going to work. And then sure enough, it was our first $1 billion program.
And what made you stick to it? What was it for 2 years that you just kept banging on what you saw as a new, really a new category opportunity?
Well, yeah, I would say two things. First, we were watching Bowflex basically kill it with a $1,500 device in infomercials. And all they were doing was repackaging a different kind of gravity. And gravity's free. So people like, you know, we were selling P90X for $120. And people would say, you know, nobody's going to buy a workout video for $120. I'm like, I'm not selling a workout video. I'm selling a Bowflex alternative for $120. So you're paying less, you know, 90% less with guaranteed results in 90 days. So I'm like, I know the market is there because we're getting the results from people. People are totally carving their bodies. And the other thing was, every test, every tweak we would do, and every focus group that we would do, when we asked the hard questions, what would you pay? Why wouldn't you buy it? Like, we would, you know, screen, we would watch people screen the infomercial, and we always learned something a little bit, learned a little bit more. And then, you know, we just watched it get closer and closer to what they call, you know, the CAC to LTV ratio that you need to get a good return on ad spend. And finally it just clicked. And that included what we would call the back end, meaning the upsell structure, so that we would, you know, whether it was supplements or an additional unit or whatever it was, to get the cost of acquisition to lifetime value ratio to pay out for us. Because we were not a highly liquid company. We hadn't raised any money. We were just doing all this out of cash flow. But finally in 2007, it took off. And here's a great little story. So I had gone to a fundraiser for Obama. I think this might've been 2008 or so. And the guy that got me into this fundraiser, in addition to the check, said, hey, if you want to meet the president, let's go over here. I think he's going to enter through this door. But once he's in the room, if we don't get him, then we're not going to get to him. So I was standing by the door there with my partner, John Congdon. And sure enough, he comes through this door. And the guy says, hey, Mr. President, I'd like you to meet Carl Daikeler and John Congdon. These are the guys from Beachbody, created P90X. Obama says, P90X? My wife does P90X and I can't keep up with her. And all the Secret Service guys start saying, yeah, we're doing P90X. We're doing P90X. And there's another one of those moments where the world starts spinning around me. I'm like, I'm an infomercial guy. Is this really happening?
I remember those days well. It seemed to me that P90X was everywhere. And I remember I had all these friends doing it. And I don't know why I saw this. I'm a Pink fan. I don't necessarily love all of her music, but I like some of her music. And I think she's really cool. And I like her attitude. And anyway, I saw some interview with Pink. I forget what it was. And the interviewer was asking her something to the effect of, how do you stay in shape? And she says, well, I love P90X. And I thought, fucking A. And so I finally caved in and bought my P90X.
That was on Oprah.
Oh, was it Oprah? Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know why I remember that. I remember Spinal Tap lyrics and that. So did you have a strategy for infiltrating the government or a strategy for infiltrating Hollywood?
No. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, you do your best to create stuff that intuitively you think will work. You know, you use yourself as a proxy, and then you do your best. And when they take off, you buckle up and make sure that you take advantage of every little opportunity. Because literally, in those days, this is like, you know, this is 2008, 2009, 2010, when the whole world was upside down, right? The economy was in crisis. Huge crisis. They're fighting on, Yeah. And Republicans, Democrats, nobody's talking. And they started to do P90X in the Capitol gym. And there was literally a group, an accountability group, where they would put down their divide and Democrats and Republicans alike would come in and do the workouts. And actually, Tony Horton would go in and actually train these guys from time to time in the gym. It just took on a life of its own. And then, of course, you know, that you asked up front, you know, what was the inkling? How did I know we'd create a category of structured home fitness? And we didn't, but, you know, category design didn't exist for me, except positioning sort of did, and which I think is the precursor to category design, really. And,
absolutely.
And our position was, you don't need to go to the gym or have a lot of equipment to get great results. And you don't have to think about the rest of your life to get great results. We're going to break it off for you into 90 days, 60 days, 21 days, so that you get that gratification of completion. And we've just done that now for 25 years. And I literally, Christopher, we got over 120 programs on the platform, on the body, BODI platform, that just are all variations on the theme, from bar, booty, abs, hardcore training for beginners only, 21-day fix, morning meltdown 100, core to four. Like, they go on and on. And people come in, and this is the fun thing about it, frankly. People get a sense of completion, meaning they'll finish a program and print out the artwork and put it up on their wall. And there's people who their entire gym is covered with walls of these basically homemade trophies that they've made when they finish one of these programs. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to have created something that gives a badge of success to people that didn't really exist. You had to just fall in love with fitness if you're going to the gym, and get over the fact that everybody's looking at you and all the weird politics that happen. I just could never get over it. And now, you know, here's this concept of completion with each new program. And each new program that we come out, we get a whole bunch of new people who go, oh, that's the one for me. You know, we have the one going out right now called Dig Deeper, which is Sean T, the Insanity Guy.
Another massive hit. And how long after P90X and its various other forms did Insanity come out?
I think it was about 18 months.
Yeah, because I remember when all of Silicon Valley shifted from P90X to Insanity, because my buddies, I had a buddy at the time who was a VC who was like a way super fitness guy, and he's like, you know, and I was asking him how it was going with P90X. He goes, I'm graduating from that. I'm doing Insanity now. And I was like, what? And then all of a sudden I heard Insanity everywhere, and it was all over the media. And I was like, they're doing it again.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And you know, this is it's really an interesting study, because I know you got a lot of marketing people. Like, we did P90X, P90X2, and P90X3. And obviously P90X2 and P90X3 didn't do nearly as well as the original P90X. So it sort of goes into the question, what's better, line extension or to create something new? And then you come out with Insanity, and like, you know, we were cheeky about the money back guarantee, where we would say, you know, if you can't do this, if you don't like it, we don't want you to have it. So send it back. Like, you can't hang. Velvet rope theory, right? And this new, like, creating radically different rather than a variation on a theme was much more successful for us than line extensions.
Isn't that fascinating?
Right?
Yeah.
You're a genius.
And so this is one of the many things I love about you, Carl. You're an intuitive category designer, and obviously you're an incredibly intuitive product creator. And so the other thing about your business is it's almost sort of like you're a Hollywood studio in that sense, right? Coming up with hits.
Yeah, you know, that's a scary term, because it always feels like, you know, you're only as good as your last hit. I think it was that in the infomercial days. Now that we're digital and we've got a platform, so it's a little bit more, call it Netflixy, right? You've got people who are like, I've got people who their tenure is less than 2 years on this platform. So they haven't begun to experience the 120 programs. So I don't need another hit to prop up the tent. I don't need a tent post every year, but we do get to pay attention to what the subscribers are asking for. Pay attention to what the gym environment is, what's thriving out there in gyms, and see if it's responsible for us to articulate that in digital streaming product, meaning it's something that you can queue okay without having eyes on the person. And we innovate. We did something just a couple of years ago, which was really interesting because I wasn't really comfortable with yoga because it's really hard to cue yoga specifically unless you're watching the people and how your cues translate, right? So that's why the yoga is so good in the studio. So we created a thing called the Bodcast, where it's kind of like Zoom, but it's projected up on this LED screen in the studio so that the trainer teaching can actually see how well their cues are making it home. And no other digital platform has that. So for the first time, yoga or Pilates or even lifting and cardio, the virtual trainer has the ability to make corrections on 30 or 40 people projected up on screen so that the rest, so they're the proxy for the other 10,000 who might be doing it so that you know they're getting the right experience. That's a cool innovation that takes it out of being the hits business into something that is a little bit more episodic and trying to engage people in the thing that's going to help them move to the next level of whatever their health esteem, however they define their own health esteem.
And the thing I find so fascinating about that, having grown up in the technology and software business, you know, over the last 30 years and really starting in the early 2000s, our industry shifted from selling a product with maintenance to a subscription model. And I would imagine, and we've written a lot about this, it creates a flywheel type effect, right? And so it strikes me that you've gone through a very similar transition of, I got to be the guy, 8-minute abs, 7-minute abs, 6-minute abs, yeah. P90X, P90XYZ, insanity, super insanity, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And sort of being like a movie studio in that you're only as good as your last hit. But now, of course, I mean, you have, maybe you'll tell me, a bazillion customers, and they're now on a digital cloud subscription platform. And so just like the software business, you've moved to a subscription business. And of course, all of your old hits are as valuable to people who are subscribing to the service today as they were back when we didn't know Shanti's name.
Yeah. And that's true. And we're public and I don't know what I'm allowed to say, what we publish or not. Let's say it's over 1 million subscribers. Okay. And I think that it's really, we're just scratching the surface of our penetration into the, you know, over 140 million people just in the US who are overweight or obese. So like the market, the TAM is outrageous. But it is a really interesting issue because I think while that's true that the model has evolved into this subscription out of hits business into the subscription model, it's also now fatigued, and we're seeing subscription a lot of attrition, and so people might come in, do P90X, cancel their subscription, and then come back when they're ready to do something new. So we're actually evolving the business model, and this is where something that's very unique to BODi is because of the way the programs are structured. This spring, basically in April, we're going to be offering them for digital program purchase. So on one hand, yes, for the people who fall in love with the concept of working out at home and having a, always having another program to follow and do. Some people just like, I just want to buy the one that I want. I'll buy that for $60. And hopefully then they'll build the habit and then upgrade to the subscription, or maybe they'll just buy the next program. So the model has evolved from buy it on DVD to subscribe to it to now either subscribe to it or buy the digital access rights, or we call entitlements. And it's constant motive evolution to just try to make sure that the prospect gets it in a format that they want, you know?
Well, and that's the beauty of the digital, the native digital world, right? If you sort of think about Apple as a simple example, you can buy one episode of one TV show if you want to see an episode or two episodes, or you can buy the season, right? And so, and you know, we've tried to do this with Category Pirates. You can subscribe and unsubscribe if you want to just read one thing. Actually, anybody can get 7 days free. So just go, if you just want to go read a few things and get it for free, have at it. And you know what? We don't even give a shit. Just fucking whatever you want, right? And then you can subscribe to the whole thing and come and go, which some people clearly do. And then we sell the mini books on Amazon for $8. So one newsletter that's part of a subscription, if you just want to go read it on your Kindle, great. And then, of course, we take a collection of newsletters, put them together and swizzle them and da-da-da-da-da, and ta-da, it's a book. And so you can buy it any which way you want. And there's something, you know, as a consumer, there's something really powerful about this. I get to configure the experience that I want.
Yeah. Well, hey, well, I'm one of your super consumers, no doubt. You know, I got them all. I got them all up there. Not like it's handy, but
thank you.
Like, seriously, I'm surrounded by you guys. But that's true. Like, you know, for me, the gym never worked, but we know that we've got tens of thousands of people taking their phone or their iPad to the gym and using our content as their trainer. We've got other people who just,
I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Particularly when I travel, you know, if you go to a hotel gym, the likelihood you see somebody with their phone or their iPad doing a program, which is probably, I don't know, you tell me, better than 50-50 chance it's going to be one of your programs. It's a very popular thing to do. It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. One of the reasons is a unique feature that we've added is that people can download the programs to their device. So if they don't feel like streaming it or they don't know if they'll get good connection, they'll have it right there on the device. And also bringing it with you, like a structured program, you know what to do the next day versus, I don't know about you, but when I'm not in structure, I'm like, God, should I do upper body today? Should I do lower body? I hate lower body. Should I do cart? Like what? Like if you're following a program, there's nothing like having your phone and being like, all right, this is the one I'm supposed to do on Wednesday. Click and do it wherever you're at.
And I think a lot of us like that. I mean, unless you're a super jock and you're designing your own programs and all that, which is totally cool, but you would know better than me. But I would imagine a lot of regular consumers of fitness, if I could call them that, are more like me, which is, you know, unless I know I want to work on something, my paddling strength or my this or that. But in general, I want somebody to give me a program and I'm going to say, I'm going to do this 3 or 4 times a week, whatever it is, and just sort of just kind of do me. I want an expert to tell me.
Yeah, I think that without a doubt, that's what people want. They want to know that the production value is good. That's one of the things that we've sort of I would say developed over the course of 25 years is you can tell a body program. It's just got a stunning visual signature. It's well designed. And the trainer, we call them super trainers because they have this unique skill to deliver the information, be interesting, sometimes be funny and be motivating and deal with all of the moving pieces of a studio, right? But then there's this, particularly for people like me, Christopher, that like I don't like to work out and I don't like to eat healthy. And so if it's all not together.
I love that the guy that is behind all this shit it has that mindset. It's so awesome.
I hate it, man. Like, and so this, I'm solving my own problem. And I'll tell you what, if I had my way, I'd run a chocolate pizza company, like, and I would look like it. But instead, I'm running a company that, you know, formerly Beachbody, now Body. They know the platform is Body. And I can't let it go. Like, otherwise I'm failing myself. So I'm constantly in a process of, is this nutrition program simple enough? Like, you know, we've had this conversation. I don't like vegetables. Like, do not like them, cannot eat them. So I said to the team, there's got to be a way. You got to create some sort of super shot, something. Just send me, if I can do a shot of tequila, I can do a green shot of something gross. So I tasked them to develop me a super duper health shot, and they found these super foods and put all this stuff together. And it turned into this product called Shakeology. And like, for the first time, every morning, I'm getting this dense shot of protein. It's not a shot. It's actually a full out chocolate shake, protein, fiber, superfoods, greens, fruit blend, you know, all the stuff that I wouldn't get in my normal diet. And then the rest of the day, I don't have to worry about it. You know, it's funny. I saw that you had, I think the guy that wrote Miracle Morning on, and like, I am a disciple of that thinking. Like, if you own your morning, you own your life. And the way I look at it is, I want to own the first 90 minutes of the morning. And I wake up, I have my first thing, health shot. I have my Shakeology. Then I drink my Energize. Then I get my workout done. And if I just take care of it in that 90 minutes right at home, then I don't have to worry about it the rest of the day. I just watch my portions.
Yep.
And that's what works for me.
And that is the genius of Hal Elrod. And my whole life, I'm much more of a morning person. And so my whole life, if I don't get my training, my workout done first thing, maybe a little bit of coffee, maybe a little tiny little breakfast, like a snacky sort of thing to go with the coffee, yeah, but not anything heavy. If I have not got it done by 8 or 9 o'clock, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
It's a very rare, I'm not going to work out. I could go on a bike ride with some buddies or certainly go surfing or something like that. But training, uh-uh. And yeah. I remember when I was first getting to know Hal in the original Miracle Morning, I believe there's a full chapter in the book about sort of how to get your ass out of bed. Mm. And he was sharing with me how challenging it is for most people to just get up.
Yeah.
And I, you know, generally don't have that problem. But isn't it amazing that kind of what you do for the first couple hours of the day either sets you up or not. And look, a lot of us do dumb shit. We drink coffee, not water.
Yeah.
We consume news. The dumbest thing I do in the morning is consume news. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that I can't do that first thing in the morning because, like, all of a sudden now I'm pissed off about the war or the stupidity in the fucking Washington or whatever the thing is. So there is a kind of it is a miracle morning when you say, hey, I'm going to eat well. I'm going to train my body. I'm going to get my mind clear. Now, one of the things I've been waiting to ask you, how long has Ozempic and similar drugs now been on the market? About a year or so?
Oh, longer than that.
Oh, longer?
I mean, you know, they were in development for treating diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes. I think 90% of the diabetes is type 2 diabetes, which means it's manageable with managing your diet.
It's brought on by lifestyle, overeating and not exercising.
That's right.
And I'm not a doctor, so maybe there are other ways to get it. But most people who have type 2 diabetes, it's because of their lifestyle. Yes, is that correct?
Yeah. You know? Totally manageable. Right. Absolutely manageable.
If I stop eating and start training, I won't be a diabetic anymore.
Yeah, well, manage your sugar intake and be more active, strengthen the cell walls, you know, strengthening muscles, strengthening the overall cell walls. Skeletal muscle mass helps process all the hormones and helps you balance insulin and all that stuff. So, but the GLP-1 well, I think they call it GLP-1 inhibitors and semaglutides. I believe they've been on the market for about 4 years. It got famous when I think Kim Kardashian showed up at an awards show and all of a sudden was skinny and was saying, no, I didn't use it. And it turns out that she was. And it started to become something that pierced through being a medical intervention and turned into a weight loss hack that people started to beg their doctors, just please put me on it, find a way, you know, almost like medical marijuana. And you know, and so now it's something that they're, people are saying it's going to be a $200 billion industry. And, you know, and I'm not one to criticize something that can help people who really struggle with sort of the psychosis of food, right? It's just like, it's really hard. And it's interesting that we've needed a medication to help us navigate just how addictive highly processed food is, right? Like, we can't do it on our own, man. We are hooked on this stuff. So I need a shot to help me get off of it. The problem is when it's done in a silo and is not accompanied by healthy lifestyle change, because then you're really screwed. Because then all of a sudden you're just restricting calories. Your body's going to, you know, I think they said the clinical trials, people lost 20 to 30% of their body mass, but it wasn't all fat. That was also muscle, which undermines your metabolism. So the problem actually will get worse for you. And you're not going to age well if you don't preserve and build muscle, because it's not as easy to build it as you grow old. So
I've heard this expression of being a fat, skinny person.
Right?
Yeah.
Awful. And, but again, this is, it's a trap. And this is the, what I call the imperfection economy, that you're never skinny enough. You're never pretty enough. You're never young enough. And that's how we got into category design with the concept of health esteem. Like, it's okay to aspire to lose weight. It's okay to aspire to be stronger, but you cannot do it at the expense of your well-being. Otherwise, what for? Like, you know, it's you want to have a healthy, active lifestyle. And what we at Body want to do for people is, if they're going to do the semi-glutides, we want to be the companion, because we're going to help them. We're going to help show them how to eat. We're going to help show them how to work out in 20 to 30 minutes a day and build up your metabolism. So maybe you don't need to spend $1,000 a month forever on a GLP-1 drug. And who knows what those consequences are going to be. You know, we're going to see what the next 5 years hold. But I think it's fucking criminal for the medical community to not insist that people also implement lifestyle change when they're doing these drugs, because they're doing harm to themselves. And unfortunately, they're teaching their kids, oh no, you don't need to work out. You don't need to watch what you eat. Let's just get the shot. And
this is the thing I wanted to ask you about. Do you see Americans just taking the drug and not doing the work, or do you, or not just Americans,
totally,
of course, your global company, but, or do you see people who maybe they're stuck for whatever reason, they've had a hard time losing weight, they've tried to do things, whatever it is, and they need a Kickstarter, and maybe, I don't know anything about this stuff, but, you know, maybe they use a drug like this to lose the first 10 pounds or whatever, and maybe they start feeling better about themselves, so now I'm ready to start training. Like, is it a booster shot that helps with a new lifestyle, or is it a, yeah, just give me this thing and I'm going to keep eating Taco Bell and drinking beer and not give a shit. Where's this going, Carl?
It's all of it. It's all of it. But look, the people who are looking at this for just with zero appreciation for its effect on their health, they're not going to change their lifestyle. So they're just hacking. It's a weight loss hack, but it's going to have consequences. Other people, and these are the people that we can help, use it to, you know, they might be too heavy. They might be morbidly obese. And the idea of a push-up is like impossible, but you lose 10, 15, 20 pounds. You start to feel good. You start to walk and you're like, let me take this to the next level. I need, and you start to learn. I'd like to lift. And you, and people, here's what happens, Christopher, is that people realize, again, this about owning that morning. If they can tolerate 20 minutes of rigor and maybe even a little bit of pain, pushing through that, they can then deal with pain the rest of the day and not be so soft, right? Rather than be, have this sort of ongoing vital decay of I'm getting weaker and weaker and my immune system is weaker and weaker. And these are the people that, you know, they just walk by somebody sick and they're the ones that get it. And instead it can go the other way. And that is, again, what we call health esteem, that people are building it up. And those are the people who, again, I don't judge people. Anyway, I'm not a judge anyway, but I don't think we should judge people who use the weight loss pharmaceuticals, but we do need to help them understand the importance of overall lifestyle change so the weight loss pharmaceuticals don't get the best of them.
Yeah. It's interesting. We've had a guy on, I think he might have been on multiple times. I really like him. He's an author named Michael Easter. And he wrote a book called The Comfort Crisis, which I thought was fascinating. And look, we all love to be comfortable, you know, watching the I love to sit there and watch football and eat yummy nachos and burgers and shit and drink beer and put my feet up and wear my comfy jammy pants, you know, sweatpants. My wife calls them her happy pants. You know, we all love that, right? And that's wonderful. However, if we do that all the time, we actually don't feel too happy. And so we sort of have confused comfort with sort of the be all and end all. When, to your point, I think most of us, when we put ourselves in challenging situations that are uncomfortable, I mean, come on, you don't have to be a shrink or a sociologist to know that's where growth happens.
Yeah.
Right. And in training, I have to damage the muscle a little to make it heal and then get bigger. Yes. It's that.
That's right.
At some level, it's kind of that simple.
It's adaptation. You know, and I've always find it interesting, people who just dismiss that, but then they'll go to a theme park and put me on the hardest roller coaster that's going to be hell for 2.5 minutes. And I'll get through it. Well, that is life, man. If you want life to be interesting, not just a series of dopamine hits because you'd had a good scroll, life is interesting when you are taking action, doing things, experimenting. Like, anybody who feels stuck, I would venture to say they're not being creative enough in their life. And that some minimal action needs to be taken on a consistent basis, and you will find yourself creating light in your life, creating productivity, and you're going to start loving your life when you realize what your life can be. That's what's beautiful about doing things. That's what's beautiful about whether it's a fitness program or eating in a certain way that's like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. And I'm still survived. I actually feel okay that I'm not stuffed full. I actually feel good that I went out for a walk. It's fun that I got to try surfing because I was in good enough shape to get on a stand-up paddleboard or whatever. It's like we take it for granted, you know, TV, the phone. Like, there's all these distractions now, and it's easy to go, you know what, not right now. But life just then passes you by, and then you got nothing left. I hope that body can play a part. You know, I want this platform to change the world by playing a part in helping people realize that taking action for your life is way better than doing nothing. And that's the role that I want body to play.
Well, and I just read something recently, Carl. I can't remember exactly where. I consume a lot, so I don't know exactly where I read it. But studies show that even 15 minutes of medium effort exercise can make a difference. And you think, who doesn't have fucking 15 minutes?
Well, everybody's got 15 minutes, but nobody wants to be like you said, uncomfortable or in pain for 15 minutes. And it's not immediate gratification. And we are surrounded by so much immediate gratification that it's very easy to dismiss this until you realize, you know, this is the interesting sales point. The things you want to experience with immediate gratification, food, sex, entertainment, are so much better when you are in better shape and you are stronger and you are leaner and you can enjoy them fully without guilt or shame and with total vitality. Everything's better. So it's a better balance. So do the 15 minutes. That's what I say. Because the rest of the day is going to be that much better.
Amen. Hallelujah, Carl. Now, you've been at this for over 30 years, right?
Well,
in one form or another, as an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
how
totally.
Old is Body as a company?
25 years.
25 years.
Yeah.
And is it safe to say that you're in a massive transition? Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. Honestly, 25 years, I feel like we've been in a transition for 25 years. Like I have never felt safe. Somehow the company's survived. You know, we're obviously, as a public company, it's no walk in the park. It's been a wild ride, but we are in a major period of transformation right now.
And obviously we've done a bunch of work together, and so I have some insight, but it's been a little bit since we talked. And so I'm curious how you think about that transformation and how you think about navigating to where you ultimately want Body to be in the next few years.
I think that we're really in a good place. It took a while. The pandemic messed everything up. Because it pulled a bunch of demand forward, shut everybody out of the gym. So a bunch of people came in and what was a sort of a normal, predictable trajectory of growth blew up because everybody came in. It was like a tsunami, you know, washed in and washed out. And it happened to wash out just as we were going public. So the optics are terrible.
Always but perfect timing for a big market washout.
Right, seriously. But you know, again, our job, Christopher, is to serve the customer and try to figure out, like, I don't want to serve everybody who's quite happy going to the gym. Like, they're fine. Go ahead, do the gym. But who I do want to serve are the people who buy the gym membership and never go, or the people who never buy the membership because they know they'll always quit. And so that's what we're looking at, is how can we improve our engagement? What sort of gratification can we weave into the program? How can we make sure that eating for your gut health or for your hormone health can be something that's not a chore, but is actually something you can still enjoy if we make it easy to prepare food? What sort of supplement hacks, if you will, can we help people like me who don't like vegetables? Like, so it's like I said, it's in a constant state of evolution, but between the new content that we've dropped and some of the new content that's coming, I think we've created a relationship with our subscriber base now that is like this really good symbiotic relationship. They know that we're looking out for them. They know that we're looking to create new content that works for them and is rewarding. And they know we're listening to them. So I think we're really in a good place.
And the new category design is pretty, you tell me, obviously you know the industry way better than I do, but to go from a company named Beachbody selling an ideal, which in my estimation was a lot of what had been going on historically, to change the name of the company to just Body and to launch a new category point of view around health esteem, as opposed to trying to look like some super Adonis, I don't know what. It's about this thing called that you call health esteem. That seems like a pretty big change. Can you kind of pop the hood on that one?
Yeah. Well, it is a big change because, and you got to be super careful about it because I don't want to leave people with the aspirations and leave them in the dust. Because look, the motivation to have your pants fit a little better, to feel better in your own skin, that is a very strong motivator. But what we wanted to get out of the business was of that people wouldn't feel good about themselves until they achieved their after photo. Or once they achieved their after photo, they became a slave to the after photo. That, oh man, if I don't hold this together, I'm imperfect. I'm no longer acceptable to myself. So what health esteem as a category does is it makes the first step the most gratifying step. And that is, let me accept myself and forgive myself for just being human for a second and allowing myself to be human and care enough about myself that I want to work on myself. So I like to say the vision of the company is to help people feel good while they're on their path to an extraordinary life transformation. But those two things have to come together. Where it used to be, I don't care, you know, no pain, no gain. I don't care how you feel until you get to the end of 90 days. Shut up, do it. Tough love, just do it. Shut up. You missed a day, go back to square one. Make people feel bad about themselves. That we need to get out of the business. Now, Beachbody was never, as a term, was never given the meaning of an ideal, but it was actually sort of heaped on it as people would use that as being that unless you live up to a standard, you're not welcome at the beach. When our definition corporately was everybody has a beach body as long as you feel comfortable in your own skin. But it wasn't, you know, you can't fight the overall positioning. So we decided to change that positioning by going with just the more benign body, BODI, which actually was an acronym we used for Beachbody On Demand Interactive, so that everybody felt welcome, particularly they felt welcome on day one. That we wouldn't have people go, oh, I can't participate with that because I'm not a Beachbody. That's what we need to actually smoke out of the entire health and fitness industry so that the 140 million people feel welcome in this ecosystem. Look, but you know what they say, Christopher? By 2035, they expect obesity to cost $4 trillion to the global economy. $4 trillion. That's outrageous and unacceptable. And this is more important to me than the stock price, more important to me than the bottom line. What's most important is we make people feel welcome and we get them results. And that's my job. And the stock price a little bit.
Yeah. I love that. It's one of the many things I love about you. One of the things you taught me that I didn't know, so that after picture, was how many people in your world or in this world achieve an amazing after picture and then are horribly haunted and tortured by it because they achieved it for a personal goal or at the end of a certain thing, or maybe if they were in a contest, or maybe they wanted to run a race or whatever the motive, maybe they wanted to look good in a wedding dress or in a whatever the fuck it was, right?
Yeah.
But that after picture then haunts them because that's them in their peak. And most people aren't going to stay in their peak. Even a Hugh Jackman or a Julian Michaels or whoever the stars are today that are amazing, you know, have incredible bodies. You know, Christian McCaffrey's got the body that I wish I had right now. Holy shit, what a great looking dude. Or Nick Bosa. Jeez Louise. But Nick Bosa's not always going to look like Nick Bosa because one day he's not going to be a 49er and he's going to be 45 years old and he's going to want to have a beer, I'm guessing. And so I didn't understand how much, even for people who achieved these incredibly beautiful bodies and powerful bodies, that in some ways it was almost worse than the people who felt like they could never even get there.
Well, that's what you don't want. You don't want your success to haunt you. And so what Health Esteem tries to do is show people that they are not defined. They are not their after picture. They are a human being that's allowed to have a good time, allowed to go to a birthday party, allowed to go on a cruise and a vacation and have a great time. However, who they are and how they want to experience life is directly affected by their ability to proactively engage in it and be vital and have energy that doesn't all come from caffeine. And that's how you're defined. So, but that doesn't happen immediately. We are in a social media world, man, and yours, and with filters and AI that you take a picture and it'll immediately change your body for the photo. What a sad thing for our kids if there's total disregard for taking care of yourself on the other side of that. That's what Health Esteem is how does it feel to live in your own skin? How do you manage your self-esteem within your health and fitness activity so that you have a healthy relationship with yourself and you're not trapped by society's view of you, if that makes sense. I used to have people, here's a good example. When I got ripped with P90X, you know, the story was like, I showed my mom my before and after photos and she's like, "Oh, that's interesting. Whose body did you put your head on?" Like, thanks, mom. But I was at a company event and, you know, you get in these photo lines, people want to take a picture with you and stuff. And this woman like pokes me in the abs. She's like, "Oh, been a while since you did P90X, huh?" And I'm like, you know, right there it is. You know, CEO or not, I don't need to get called out by you. Like, back off. She doesn't know what's going on in my life. So that's what Health Esteem needs to be. Give people a break, let them live their lives and see if you can help them aspire to an extraordinary life transformation that includes their own self-perception and also includes their own healthy vitality.
I love you, Carl. I think you're awesome. I'm going to ask you a question that I think I know the answer to, but you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs, CEOs, category designers who've achieved the kinds of things that you've achieved who would have retired quite some time ago. I mean, you've really done it all. You were at the forefront of creating, you know, this category in the infomercial world, and now you've taken it online and so forth and so on. And you've helped literally millions of people. And so it'd be very easy for you. And I know you have a wonderful wife and a wonderful family that you love very much. And so it would be very logical for somebody in your position to say, "Hey man, kind of done it all. Don't have anything to prove. There's capable people who could run the company. So why do you keep doing it?"
I have so much left to prove, Christopher. I literally, to myself, that this, since day one, I felt like we were solving a riddle that nobody had been able to solve ever. Like the gyms, the infomercial equipment makers, like, you know, it was always the new thing. It never would last. And I am very proud to be one of the very few health and fitness companies that's over a quarter of a century old, because they don't last, right? So proud of that. But I am not proud that we're not serving 100 million people. I'm not proud that some people felt alienated by the name Beachbody. So I need to heal that and continue to create in an environment where people are friggin' so excited by what they can achieve and also invigorated by just showing up for themselves. And so look, here's a story. You know, start of the new year, I'm like, I'm going to be on it this year. Here we go. And I had a good week or so, and then work happened and everything, and I fell off. And I literally
just— Wait a minute, you're Mr. Body. You're the man.
Right?
And you're not supposed to be human like the rest of us who throw out the New Year's resolution on week two. Come on.
How dare I?
How dare you? You're supposed to be the ideal man. I thought you were the ideal man.
Clearly not. I just restarted Saturday. Okay. It's pitiful for the CEO of this company to get a few weeks of consistency in, then to fall off for a week. But you know what? The most important thing for me or anybody else who refuses to grow old gracefully is that when they fall off the rails, that they can find a way to get back on. That's what matters to me. That's what we stand for. Helping the non-fitness and the non-healthy eating people find a way to exercise and eat better and feel welcome, whether they were consistent about it or they fell off for a couple of weeks, come back in. We're not going to judge you, but let's get you back there. And so I'm not done. I'm not done solving this. So I don't know when they're going to kick me out, but as long as they'll let me keep doing it, we got ideas coming, Christopher, that are, honestly, it's funny. After doing this 25 years, I'm like, why didn't we ever think of that? Like, we got stuff coming out over the course of this year that I'm like, how did we never think? How did nobody else ever think of this? So it's still fun and still an adventure.
I love it. And I want to thank you for including me in part of this adventure. It's been really great to get to know you and to get to work with you and your team. It really has been amazing and really inspiring to see the customers and you've built an incredible channel of people who are out there in the world doing this stuff. It's really a fun company, and I really appreciate you including me.
Well, it was a crazy, right? A small world story. I finished the book, sent an email in to sign up on the newsletter, get an email back immediately that says, thanks for joining our newsletter. And so I replied to that. Hey, great. It's great to be here. And then the thing replies, and I'm like, the bot, I thought it was a bot, says, by the way, I love your shakes. I'm like, wait, what? And it turns out that Cole, who's on your team, category pirate, has been drinking Shakeology for like 10 years. and what you guys, you and Eddie and Cole and, you know, others in the category world have done is given us the courage to think radically different. Like you talk about follow your different, thinking about thinking. These are things that I do. These are not catchphrases. I literally stop and think, how do I want to think about this? And how do I know that those guys are not? How do I, just by watching what the other people are doing, I know what they're not thinking about and the gap that they're leaving open for somebody who's thinking about thinking. And I would still be grasping at straws for a framework and an approach had it not been stepping into the world of the category pirates and the category books. And so I'm just super grateful because you guys just aren't a framework. Your heart of missionary versus mercenary is something that I didn't know was really welcome in the boardroom. And it is now, you gave me permission to be that part of myself, which has only made the company better. And when you got trolls and, you know, people are pissed at the stock price and whatever, every day I go to work, I know what my mission is and what we're doing has meaning and that it's not just for the paycheck. And I'm super proud of that. And I'm super proud that you guys helped unlock it.
Aw, Carl.
Want a hug?
I want to give you a big hug, buddy. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on, brother?
You know, anybody who heard this, who wants to know what the heck structured fitness means, structured nutrition, we created a site. You guys, you had a statement, something that you said, you guys are in the revenue prevention business. our executive chairman also had that same perception. So we created something called Body Previews, BODI, previews.com. And we basically took all the sample workouts from the 120 workouts and put them on this site so that people could try any of the samples that to see which one would work for them, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 100 workouts, 90 workouts, 21 workouts, whatever. And then once you pick the one that's right for you, then you can subscribe. So we've got this basically 120 programs out there for free that people can experiment. You can also go to Body, B-O-D-I, on YouTube. We've got a mini version of Body Previews up there so that people can experiment, see which program is going to be right for them, and then jump in and do a program by subscribing.
Awesome. Couldn't have you leave without doing at least a little bit of an infomercial. I mean, for the love of God.
It's just in my DNA.
I know it is. Carl Deichler, thank you. I really respect the shit out of you, and I'm so glad that you sent that email and we got to do some work together and we've become friends. It's really, awesome. You're a great person in my life. Thank you.
Huge respect for you and the guys, and keep doing what you're doing, man. You're helping a lot of people get out of the, you know, by the way, we are intending to make our brand bigger too, but that's just an effort.
Thanks, Carl.
That was the legendary Carl Deichler. Level up your health esteem today at body.com. That's BODI.com. And don't forget, podcasts make great gifts. Share two podcasts you love with two people you love. And make sure you follow us today on your podcast player of choice. We'd like to thank you. We appreciate you investing part of your life with us. Are you drowning in endless tasks? Hire a dedicated distant assistant from Bottleneck and reclaim your time. Their remote pros handle everything from admin to analysis with unparalleled efficiency. Wave goodbye to bottlenecks and hello to newfound freedom. Stop working harder, start working smarter. Affordable, reliable support awaits at bottleneck.online. Unlock your true potential. Hire your dedicated distant assistant today at bottleneck.online. Your website is the first thing people see about your business. Well, is it legendary? For over 20 years, the experts at Autrenet have been building preeminent B2B websites in Silicon Valley. They're the agency that helps tech companies conquer their category with purpose-built, beautiful web experiences. If it's time for a rapid relaunch of your B2B website, visit Autre.net. Their proven methodology will take your site from ho-hum to epic in just a matter of weeks. Stop settling for average. Partner with the B2B website agency that delivers category-defining results. Head to Autre.net to get started. That's A-T-R-E.net. Are you ready to learn the greatest superpower in business category design? That's where the Category Pirates come in. Learn how to create different futures, design and dominate markets in the first business newsletter written for and by pirates. Go to CategoryPirates.com today and get your butt in gear. Today's information is provided to you solely for informational purposes. This Oddcast is the sole property of the Lockhead Oddcast Network, and it contains content known to the state of California to cause radically non-obvious thinking, new categories, and exponential results. All Oddcasts contain nuts. All rights disturbed. Please contact your doctor, lawyer, accountant, yoga instructor, shaman, and category designer before doing anything about anything you hear here today. Warning, in California, drivers blocking traffic in the left-hand lane, by law, can receive a $269 fine. So please, don't be lame. Get out of the passing lane. Everything is the way that it is because somebody changed the way it was. Produced and edited by me, Jason DeFilippo. Sarah Knox and Jamie J handle the website and technical execution. Show notes by GM Simon. RJ and EX Bobus do our web development. Cedric Biros does our graphic and web design. Our law firm is Weed and Jack. Our accountants are three balance sheets to the wind. We record on squadcast.fm. Joan Jett was right. Listen to the Tragically Hip. Thanks, Candy Dandy. And hey, Colin, this Oddcast really ties the room together. Our deepest apologies go out to Sam Bankman-Fried. You may have gotten 25 years in the Who's Cow, but we just ran out of time for you. Till next time, stay safe, stay legendary, and follow your different.